Pull up a chair. I want to tell you about the single most audacious sales pitch in the history of aviation. No slide deck, no spec sheet, no handshake in a boardroom. Just one man, one brand new airplane, and about 8 seconds of blue Seattle sky over a lake full of people who had no idea what they were about to see. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Taildragger, and this is the hangar where we sit around and tell the stories the way they were meant to be told. Today's story is about the day a test pilot bet a company, a career, and quite possibly his life on the idea that the fastest way to sell the future is to show it to somebody who can't look away. Let me set the scene for you. It's the summer of 1955, August, Seattle, Washington. And down on Lake Washington, they're running the Gold Cup, the big unlimited hydroplane races, part of the Seafair Festival. Now, if you've never seen those old Thunderboats run, picture rooster tails of water 30 feet high and engines that used to hang on fighter planes. It's loud, it's fast, and half the city has turned out along the shoreline to watch. But that's not the important crowd, not for our story. The important crowd is a gathering of the most powerful people in commercial aviation, the heads of the airlines. Representatives from the International Air Transport Association. The men who decided which airplanes got bought and which companies lived or died. They were all in town and Boeing had them right where it wanted them. Because Boeing had a secret. Well, not exactly a secret. It had a gamble sitting out on the ramp. Now, before I go further, today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for every milestone in flight. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, all the way up. If you've earned it, they've got a coin for it. Every coin tells a story. And friend, if there was ever a story worth a coin, it's this one. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. So here's the gamble. Back in those days, Boeing built bombers. That's what they were known for. The B-17, the B-29, the big jet-powered B-47, and the B-52. Boeing was a bomber company. When it came to airliners, the American carriers were flying Douglas. Douglas built the DC-3, the DC-6, the DC-7. Douglas owned the airline business and everybody knew it. But the jet age was coming, whether the airlines were ready for it or not. Over in England, de Havilland had already flown the Comet, the world's first jet airliner. And Boeing's president, a careful button-down lawyer named Bill Allen, made a decision that could have ended the company. He bet the house. He committed something like $16 million of Boeing's own money, a huge chunk of the company's net worth, to build a prototype jet transport with no orders in hand. Not one airline had signed. He built it on spec, on faith. They called it the 367-80. The -80, that number 367, was actually a little bit of misdirection, borrowed from an old piston tanker program to keep the competition from sniffing around. But the -80 was something brand new. Swept wings, four jet engines slung in pods under those wings, a fuselage built for speed and altitude. She was the mother of the whole family that came after, the 707 that would carry the airlines into the jet age, and the KC-135 tanker that the Air Force still flies to this day, 70 years on. But in the summer of 55, she was just a prototype, a promise painted in brown and yellow. And the airline men were skeptical. Jets burned fuel like a house of fire. Jets were unproven. The Comet, that beautiful British jet, had started falling out of the sky, breaking apart from a problem nobody understood yet. Why would a smart airline man bet his fleet on a jet from a company that had never sold a successful airliner? That was the mood. That was the doubt Boeing needed to erase. So Bill Allen decided to put on a show. During the Gold Cup races, with all those airline executives gathered as his guests, Boeing would fly the -80 over Lake Washington. A nice, dignified flypast. Let them see her in the air. Let them hear those four jets. A gentleman's demonstration. And to fly it, Boeing had the best man for the job. Now here's where it gets interesting. The pilot's name was Alvin Johnston, but nobody called him Alvin, they called him Tex. On account of the cowboy boots and the Stetson hat he wore. Around the flight line, even though he was actually a Kansas boy, Tex Johnston was Boeing's chief test pilot, and he was cut from the old cloth. He'd flown fighters. He'd raced airplanes in the Cleveland air races before the war. He had flown the B-47 and the B-52 through their test programs. He was fearless in the way that the truly skilled are fearless, because he understood exactly what an airplane could and could not do. He didn't guess, he knew, and Tex Johnston had an idea. An idea he did not share with Bill Allen, an idea he did not share with anybody in management, because he was a smart enough man to know that if he asked, the answer would be no. The plan, the official plan, was a straight and level pass over the lake. Tex flew it, made his first pass down over the water, all four engines singing, the crowd looking up. Beautiful, dignified, exactly as ordered. Then he came around for a second pass. And as he lined up over Lake Washington, with 100,000 people on the shoreline and every airline executive in America craning their necks, Tex Johnson rolled that airliner. I want you to understand what I'm telling you. He took a jet transport, a prototype worth more than the whole company could afford to lose, the single most valuable airplane Boeing owned, the airplane the entire future of the corporation was riding on, and he did a barrel roll. Rolled her clean over wings vertical, then inverted, then back around, the whole world upside down out the windshield. Lake Washington above his head. And then because one apparently wasn't enough to make the point, he brought her around and did it again. Two barrel rolls in front of everybody. Now let me tell you something about a barrel roll. Because this is the part that separates a stunt from a catastrophe, and it's the part Tex Johnston understood in his bones. A properly flown barrel roll is a 1G maneuver. If you fly it right, the airplane and everything in it feels the same 1 gravity it feels sitting on the ramp. A cup of coffee wouldn't spill, the airframe never knows it's inverted. Tex knew that airplane's numbers cold, he knew he could roll her and never stress her past, what a bit of turbulence would do. To the crowd it looked like the most reckless thing they'd ever seen. To Tex, up in that cockpit, it was a precise, controlled, perfectly safe maneuver that he had flown 1,000 times in his head. But try telling that to Bill Allen. The story goes that Allen was down on the ground with his airline guests when it happened, and when the airplane rolled, the man nearly had a heart attack. One version has it that Allen turned to a fellow standing next to him, a man with a heart condition, and asked to borrow one of his heart pills. Whether that's gospel or hangar embellishment, I couldn't swear to, but you can feel the truth in it, can't you? Picture your entire company, your whole life's biggest bet, tumbling upside down over a lake and no earthly way to know if it's coming back level. It came back level, both times. Tex greased her around like it was nothing, finished his pass and brought her home, and then came Monday morning. Tex Johnston gets called into Bill Allen's office, and you can imagine the temperature in that room. Allen, the careful lawyer, the man who bets $16 million and his own reputation, staring across the desk at the cowboy who just rolled it over a crowd without permission. Allen asks him, in that quiet, deadly way careful men have, what did he think he was doing? And Tex Johnston gave the answer that aviation has been repeating for 70 years. He said, I was selling airplanes, 3 words. I was selling airplanes. And here's the thing, friend, he was right. Because everything changed after that roll. Those skeptical airline executives had just watched, with their own eyes, a jet transport handle like a fighter plane. They saw an airplane so sound, so strong, so utterly in command of the air that a test pilot could roll it twice over a lake and land it without turning a hair. Every doubt about whether a Boeing jet was safe, whether it was solid, whether it could take the punishment of airline service, every one of those doubts got answered in about 16 seconds of upside-down sky. Now, I won't sit here and tell you the barrel roll alone sold the 707. That'd be a good story, but a lazy one. Pan American came along and placed the big launch order, and the airlines lined up, and the jet age arrived on the strength of an airplane that genuinely was that good. But every pilot who was there, every executive, every engineer carried the memory of that roll for the rest of their lives. It became the moment, the instant the jet age stopped being a spec sheet and became something you believed in your gut. Bill Allen, to his everlasting credit, did not fire Tex Johnston. He was furious and he made sure there'd be no more surprise aerobatics. But he kept the man on because deep down, I suspect, even a careful lawyer knew showmanship when he saw it. And Tex Johnston kept right on test flying for Boeing for years after, a legend in his own time, boots and all. Let me tell you what happened to the airplane. Because this is the part that always gets me, that Dash 80, the very airplane Tex rolled over Lake Washington, did not get scrapped when her testing days were done. Boeing used her for years as a flying laboratory, trying out new wings and new engines and new ideas. And when she was finally finished flying in the early 1970s, Boeing gave her to the Smithsonian. Today you can go stand next to her. She's out at the Stephen F. Udvar Hazy Center, the big Smithsonian annex out by Dulles Airport in Virginia. Brown and yellow, just the way she was. The mother of the 707. The airplane that opened the jet age for America. And if you stand under that swept wing and look up, you can just about picture it. Lake Washington, the rooster tails on the water, 100,000 faces looking up, and a Kansas cowboy in a Stetson deciding, all on his own, that the best way to sell the future was to turn it upside down and dare the world to look away. Back when Evgus was cheap and airspace was free, we had characters in this business. Men who understood that flying isn't only engineering, it's faith and nerve, and a little bit of showmanship. Tex Johnston had all 3, and he spent them in 1 glorious afternoon over a lake in Seattle. I got most of this story from the men who lived it, from Tex Johnston's own memoir of his test flying days, and from the good folks at the Smithsonian who keep that airplane safe for the rest of us. If you want to see her go, she's worth the trip. You can find us at RadioHangar.com, and the next time somebody tells you to play it safe, to run the numbers one more time, to ask permission before you do the brave thing. You remember old Tex in that cockpit with the whole world riding on him. Sometimes you just have to roll it. I'm Taildragger, keep the blue side up, mostly.